Unlike our great Russian allies who have defeated the Nazis on their own element, the land, we must fight both the Nazi and the Jap only after we can get to him. In order to come to grips with the enemy, we must land and establish beachheads. How great a handicap to warfare this can be is best shown by the fact that the Nazis, after they had overrun Europe, did not dare to attack England, only a few miles across the channel. How well we have overcome this handicap may best be shown by the amphibious landings we have already made. It can truthfully be said that we have yet to be unsuccessful in this mode of warfare. Wherever we have tried, Salerno, Anzio, in the Western Theater, or at Hollandia, or Cape Gloucester in the Pacific, we have won our beachheads and held them. Of all the amphibious operations we have accomplished, none was quite as smooth as the landing on Cape Gloucester. In fact, this was the kind of military operation which becomes a classic and will live on in military textbooks. It was my great honor to lead the 1st Marine Division as commanding general. Needless to say, after living with my men at Tulagi and Guadalcanal, I knew what they were capable of. They had learned much from these campaigns. They would learn much more in weeks of severe training for this new landing. But long before their period of training began, while they were in rest billets in Australia, their leaders were planning intensively for this operation. The stakes were high. By landing on New Britain, we could capture airfields enabling us to strike the enemy based on Rabaul at will. We could, by making this landing, assist in isolating 40,000 of his troops, cut off their supplies and reinforcements completely, and thoroughly nullify the value of his base at Rabaul without the costly necessity of a frontal assault on that fortress. Even more important, by controlling the Vitiaz Straits, we paved the way to Hollandia. Ranking heads of Navy, Army, Marine Corps, and Air Forces, and their advisors worked out the plans in the greatest detail. Working closely with our Australian allies, we worked out provisions for every contingency. Only then did we move our troops. Then came weeks of training to toughen up our men. They were exposed to every hardship, to every type of problem that they might encounter. Then, as the time drew near, they rehearsed the actual operation. The terrain selected was almost an exact duplicate of the Cape Gloucester terrain. The landings were rehearsed time and time again. Each man knew not only what he and his squad had to do, but was taught till he knew by heart the plan of the whole operation. The world knows the result. Wave upon wave of our troops landed on Cape Gloucester with a minimum of casualties. We took all of our objectives and succeeded in helping to nullify the value of the enemy's base at Rabaul. Though we lacked the element of strategic surprise, the very speed and smoothness of the whole operation achieved for us the element of tactical surprise, which was all that was needed. While the Nazi has been bellowing to the world how successfully he can extricate himself from a lost beachhead as at Sebastopol, and the Jap has done the same at Attu, we of the United Nations have demonstrated again and again how successfully we have solved that most difficult kind of modern warfare, the amphibious operation, and have won beachheads. It is a fact that in this war, the armed forces of the United States have succeeded in every operation of this type. Even at Anzio, where our troops have been stalemated after their landing, they have succeeded in winning and holding their beachhead. When an operation has succeeded again and again, It can be no accident. There is indeed a reason why we have mastered this difficult technique and why it should prove successful in future and greater operations. Possibly the most important element in successful amphibious operations is planning. In all our operations thus far, all elements, naval, ground forces, and air forces, have worked together in planning. More time was spent in providing the plans for every contingency than was needed for equipping, training, and rehearsing the troops for the actual job. Second in importance is timing. An amphibious operation is a very complex affair. It requires split-second cooperation between the air forces, which must provide an umbrella of air cover, and undertake other manifold duties just at the time needed. Seconds of delay may hurt the operation beyond repair. The same is true of the operation of the Naval Command. Their ships must be ready, and the bombing of land installations, artillery, and so forth, must proceed exactly when needed. But the important thing to remember that even should the weather turn bad, or Air Force and Naval Force not be on hand for various reasons, the great forces behind an amphibious operation, once placed in motion, are so colossal that it cannot stop. This is where the force, guts, and ingenuity of every soldier in the operation comes in. This brings me to another of the three important elements in an amphibious operation. That is, the training and rehearsal of the troops involved. In order to achieve split-second timing, our forces must be trained and rehearsed. Their training is to harden and toughen them to cope with hardships they may be called on to face. I cannot go into details, but our past successes demonstrate very well how thorough and adequate this training has been. Rehearsals are held to achieve precision, timing, and coordination of all the elements involved in an amphibious operation. Train is selected as similar as possible to the position our troops will assault. They make landing after landing in the same sort of craft and under the same conditions. They face live ammunition, hear the same noises, are covered by the same type of Air Force support, and in general, accustom themselves to the same condition they'll find in the operation. In addition, we purposely introduce surprise elements so as to throw leaders and men on their own resources during these rehearsals. In this way, we accustom our troops to the accidents of war and are able to test their ingenuity and resourcefulness under battle conditions. Finally, and I believe this to be one of the most important contributions to our successful operation, every man in every division, by the time rehearsals have ended, knows the plan of the whole operation. This is only possible because our soldiers are citizens, raised in a democracy, and have qualities of initiative that couldn't be given to mechanized human beings like the Japanese. Any and every American soldier is ready to take command when his superior officer falls. It is this quality in the American soldier that has made our forces supremely successful in this most exacting and technical kind of warfare. And it is on his proficiency in this operation that we count in the near future to win our first big step toward victory, the landings everywhere that will bring us to grips with the enemy.